And then take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 21 together. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. We'll read this passage responsively. And here we go. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made to him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you. We need you. We're sinful. And Lord, we need the truths of the Word of God to change our lives. I pray that today you'd be pleased, honored, magnified, and Lord, may your people be strengthened to learn a truth that could revolutionize their lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I want to help you today. I'm going to use a word. In the average church, it's one of those words people will groan at. I hope you grow not to feel that way, but I'm going to preach a bit of a doctrinal sermon today. And it's not going to be a stuffy old Bible study. I think it will be a very practical way for you to learn a doctrine today. And I want to help you. And I'm probably not going to start where you think I'm going to end, all right? So you need to listen to me. I'm going to start, though, for those of you that have short attention spans. I'm going to start with a story. No, I need to illustrate something before I give you the truth, and I think it will help you. Years ago, I was preaching in a distant state. Matter of fact, I had written a note about the actual story and slid it in my notes. It took me just a little while to remember where I was, but I eventually did remember where I was. I won't tell you, but I was preaching. I went into the pastor's office before the service, and we were talking for a little while and getting ready to go out. And as I was in his office, behind his desk, he had a big bookshelf, and on that bookshelf, there were two stuffed teddy bears. I thought, okay, he likes teddy bears. But there was something odd about these teddy bears. One looked like it was about 150 years old, had been drugged through the mud, had been used by children, grandchildren, for many generations, stuffing coming out, ear hanging off. And I thought, that's odd. And then I looked on the other side, and it was almost an identical bear, but it was brand new. And I thought, and I'm looking. I got through the morning church service. I was back in his office that Sunday night. And I looked at those bears again, and it got the best of me. I said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question?" He said, "You may." I said, "I noticed you got two bears up there. One, I'm not sure why you got it up there. The other one, I can tell you, it's a new bear." I said, "Why the two bears?" Wow. He began to tear up. He began to have tears drip down off his face as he reached around and grabbed both of them. His voice began to quiver, and he said this to me. He said, "Brother Bush," he said, "I grew up in New Orleans." He said, "I grew up drinking, living hard, wicked, vile." He said, "I didn't get saved till I was in my late 20s. He said, "I did just about everything a man could do that's wrong." He said, "That's what that old nasty bear represents." He said, "But the day I got saved, Jesus turned me into a new creature." And he said, "There's that new bear." He said, "That old bear represents my old life. But that new one, that's the new me." As he began to weep, I wept with him. I began to understand why the old bear and the new bear. The old one that was nasty and filled full of dirt and defilement and falling apart and literally stuffing coming out of it. But the new bear, brand new, almost pristine. God tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Wow. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something. I hit the wrong button, amen. I'm going to use some words here. I'll re-describe them. I want you to notice something. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become in Christ. It says, if you become, that means if you get saved, that you are a new creature. It says, he is a new creature. He doesn't become in a process a new creature. God says the moment you get it, you are a new creature. I want you to notice it doesn't say if you repent and change your life. It doesn't say if you turn around and go a different direction and you live a certain way. He said, no, if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Now listen to me very carefully here. 5 times in this passage, you've not seen the word repent. You didn't see the word change, but you see a word or the form of the word reconcile. Reconciled. Reconciliation. It's all the same word. And I want you to see, God says, once you get saved, you are reconciled. Wow. Say, what does that mean, preacher? That means when you got saved, you gave him an old creature and he gave you a new creature. When you got saved, you gave him your sin, he gave you righteousness. We'll get into this in a moment. You do not get saved by trying to become a new creature first. You don't get saved by trying to make yourself into a new creature. You can't. Listen to this. You get saved and you exchange your old creature for the new creature. Now I want you to notice something. Too many people are trying to earn their new creature status. Can I tell you something? You can't purchase it. It's already been bought. You cannot purchase it, but you can receive it. It can be exchanged for, but it cannot be purchased again. Say why? Because Jesus already paid for it. And by the way, you couldn't earn it even if you tried. You see, we have too many people looking to try to be their new creature on their own power. They're trying to purchase it on their own. We have people judging one another saying, well, I don't think you really got it because your new creature isn't as good as it should be. Who are you to judge anyway? Today, I want to talk to you about this doctrine called reconciliation, or the doctrine of being reconciled. I call the sermon simply reconciled. Reconciled. Now, listen to me, and I really mean this. We are going to be done by noon today. You don't have to worry. Your belly won't growl too loud. And I know you're hungry, but just listen to me for a moment here. Number one, you get reconciled by getting saved. You get reconciled by getting saved. You don't get saved by being reconciled. Reconciliation is what comes with salvation. It's just like repentance. You don't repent to get saved. The act of salvation is repentance. Now, let me show you what I mean. Brother Stoltz, come here for a moment. Brother Stoltz is going to represent a lost man on his way to hell. He does it quite well, just so you know. All right? Now, Brother Stoltz is trying to earn his way to heaven, and he thinks that by stepping all the way there that he can get there. You can start walking and get close to the end and stop. Now, that's how the average person tries to stop to get to heaven. Don't turn around yet. Keep facing that way. He's trusting himself. He's trusting his church membership, his baptism. He's trusting his good works. He's hoping his good outweighs the bad. Can I tell you something? He's going to die and go to hell. Can I tell you why? He can't purchase it. If I represent the Father, the moment, Brother Barnes, run up here real quick with your Bible. Run over there and pretend you're witnessing to Brother Stoltz. All right. Now, everybody look at me. Don't look at those two ugly guys. I'm better looking than both of them put together. All right. Now look at me for a second. The moment Brother Stoltz realizes he's a sinner, realizes because he's a sinner, he deserves hell, and that Jesus came and paid the price for him, and the moment he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, what happens? Turn around, Brother Stoltz. He immediately trusts what Jesus did for him. He has totally changed direction. That is biblical repentance. You say, well, John preached the doctrine of repentance. Yeah, going from trusting yourself to trusting Jesus Christ. That moment you go from trusting your works, yourself, to trusting Jesus, that is the act of repenting. Amen. It's not the act of being sorrow for your sin. How sorry do you have to be for your sin till God can forgive you? That's motive-based. That's humanism. That's not scriptural. That doctrine will take you to hell. You can come down this altar, get on your knees, and bawl and squall for all the sins you did and still die and go to hell. I don't care how sorry you are, it's not going to fix it until you trust Jesus. That's what gets you there. Amen. Thank you, Brother Barnes. Brother Stoltz, stay right there. Got to tell these guys everything, don't you? Now watch this. Now when he trusted Jesus, there's something else that took place. Can I tell you what it is? Brother Stoltz, you come stand where Jesus is, and Jesus is going to come stand out in your place. And this is what happened. God put Jesus's righteousness on your record. And Jesus took your sin upon himself. Wow. He not only saved you, but he gave you something in exchange for your faith. And he took your sin and put it on his account, and he put his righteousness on your account. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. That is called being reconciled. You gave him something that was worth less, and he gave you something that was valuable. You took something that was of lesser value, and he gave you something of greater value. You gave him something of debt, and he gave you something of credit. God put all that back together through something called reconciliation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That word gift is the word reconcile. Now watch this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That doesn't mean you get saved by good works. That means you get saved by grace through faith. Then God says, with your good works, you can have more things added to your account by your good works. I will reconcile not only your eternity, but we can pad eternity a little better with something called being reconciled. He exchanges our sinful record for his righteousness. We exchange death for life. We exchange our hell for heaven. And by the way, he exchanged our dead spirit for the Holy Spirit of God and rebirthed us to give us a living spirit. That is what reconciliation is all about. My friend, you're trying to do something impossible if you're trying to earn it yourself. You have a better chance of going out and earning $1 trillion and purchasing it. By the way, no one has ever earned $1 trillion. But you have a better chance at it than you do of purchasing heaven. You see, you must accept that Jesus paid it for you and exchange your unrighteousness for his righteousness. You must exchange your sin for his lack of sin. You must exchange all those things. It cannot be purchased. Say why? Because Jesus already paid for it. Recently, my wife and I just got another car and we exchanged the old one for the new one. Did you know that you could not go to the place where I purchased that vehicle, give them the money for that car, and buy my car and take it home with you? It's in my name. I already purchased it. Now, you could give them the money, but you're not getting the car. Title's in my name. Well, I gave them the money, but it's not yours to get. It's already been paid for. Everybody understand that? I don't care how good you are, you can't earn it because it's already been paid for. You can exchange for it. If you want to give me a brand new one, I'll trade you. Not really. I'm just illustrating. Can I tell you something? Too many people are trying to earn it. You don't earn reconciliation. You exchange for it. You give your lesser for his greater. Boy, that's a wonderful truth. So you get reconciled by getting saved. The act of salvation is the act of reconciliation. You don't say, I'm going to reconcile to God. That is my salvation. It's a byproduct of your salvation. It's just like saying, I'll do good works, but those works don't save me. They're to be done after I get saved. Everybody doing all right? For by grace are you saved through faith, the unmerited favor of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. Here's where it gets exciting. That was fun. Excitement on the way. Here we go. Number two, the new creature can never become the old creature. Did you realize that the old creature can't become the new creature? But neither can the new creature become the old creature. God says he doesn't change the old creature. He gives you a new creature. Well, look at it again, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It doesn't say that he cleans up the old one. He said you become a new one. Let me show you something. Come on up here, lost man. Here's a man that is lost. He has a body, he has a soul, and he has a dead spirit. His spirit is dead. Say, I just don't understand. how in the world could the Supreme Court this week do what they did? Because they're acting like lost people with no spirit. It should not surprise you. But watch this. Here's the old creature. Body and soul. Dead spirit. Not there. He's just a shell. And a pretty ugly one. Now watch this. Watch this. The moment he gets saved, the Bible calls it being born again. Now, his body doesn't get born again. Say why? Because his mama wouldn't make that mistake again. Watch this. His soul, it's eternal. It can't be born again. But his spirit is dead. The moment he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, his spirit is reborn inside him by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit moves in and births, or there's a word in the Bible, it's the word regenerate, regeneticizes. The actual genetics of God spiritually by the blood of Christ are imparted through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to birth his spirit.
Amen. That's good.
Watch this. He can never lose that.
Amen.
It is as eternal as God is.
Yes,
folks, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved forever. I don't care how good you feel, how bad you feel, how good you've lived, how bad you've lived. You can't kill God.
Amen.
God does not die. And when you've been reborn of God, guess what? Your spirit can never die.
Amen.
Wow. Now listen to me. He is now not, he's got the same old shell, but he is a new creature. Did you know he can never become the old creature? Say why? Because his spirit is the new creature. Same old ugly face. Same old nasty desires. But he's got a new creature on the inside. Now watch this. He can never lose it. For you to lose your salvation, you would have to leave earth, go to heaven, walk into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of heaven, and take the blood of Jesus Christ off the mercy seat in heaven. Can I tell you something? You can't do it. Nah, 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 nah. It's impossible. It's already been paid for. Now watch this. He can never become the old creature. But he can destroy the new creature. He can make the new creature tattered. He can make the new creature dirty. You can stain it. You can tarnish it. You can abuse it. But it can never become the old creature. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Everybody look at me for a moment. We shouldn't judge him by either his old or his new creature. We're not the judge. God is. Here's what I hear often. Well, this person says they got saved, but I don't know. I'm not seeing any evidence of it. Who are you? I have to, it's all I do is give them the truth. They say they've done it. I've got to accept that. How many of you have ever had children or have been a child? Raise your hand. That should be everybody in the room. All right, Wiley, that's you. Raise your hand. All right, there you go. Whew. How many of you ever disobeyed your parents? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you still disobey your parents. No, can I tell you something? Just because you disobeyed doesn't mean you stopped being their child. You look at any one time in the disciples' life, and some of you would have thought that they were lost. You got Peter when Jesus is walking on the water in a storm. Hey, if thou be the Son of God, I think you're a ghost. If you're going to prove yourself the Son of God, let me walk to you on the water. Does that sound like a real strong man of faith? Every one of those rascals left him at Calvary. They quit the ministry and went back to the fishing business. Everybody doing all right? I wonder how many people at that point in time would have said, well, I wonder if he's saved. Who are you to judge? These are the same ones God used to turn the world upside down. David committed adultery, committed murder. Listen to me. God called him the man after my own heart. That doesn't mean that God's an adulterer or a murderer. David was a sinner, though. He could never become the old creature. He was a new creature. He tainted, he tarnished his new creature. He got it a little dirty, ripped an ear off or pulled an eye off. My little beagle dog. Beagles are fun. There's just something about a beagle, especially a beagle pup. The first time she barked and realized she could bark and howl was hilarious. She barked and went like this and looked around like, where'd that come from? She's got it down pat, let me tell you. And last night, somebody was setting off fireworks. She's running to the window, and she's... And all of a sudden, another one went off, and she's howling away. And that old boy, the next couple of weeks is going to be real fun at my house. I'm looking for a set of doggy earplugs, all right? But it's just kind of funny. It's hard to buy her toys that last. My daughter and my wife like these little fuzzy toys that are full of stuffing and stuff. They last about an hour. She has them tore, I mean, inside out, upside down, guts are out of it, white stuff hanging out of her mouth, you know, just happy as can be. She has totally decimated it. We bought one of these indestructible things, you know, it's got two heads and a squeaker at both ends. She had the squeaker out in 15 minutes. And within an hour and a half, the indestructible toy was in the trash, torn to shreds. I say that to say this. A new creature becomes an old creature in a hurry for that dog. You know, I finally found something she can't destroy. It's called a bowling ball. No. You know, I've found a few toys she can't destroy. Now, wait a minute. Should I get upset? Nah. Not at all. I picked green beans this week a couple times. We were snapping green beans. That stupid dog, she'll stand on her head for a green bean. You don't need dog treats, just carrots and green beans. Just throw them to her, man. She's standing there wolfing them down. My wife's snapping the ends off and tossing them to her, man. She's running all over the place. You know, she's going crazy trying to find them things. I thought, I wonder. So I pitched a whole big one over there. She's coming back. She's, where are they at, you know? I thought, man, cheap entertainment, amen? Garbage can and entertainment, all in one. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this statement. She can never be a little puppy again. She'll never be that little white fuzzball that came and sat on my daughter's lap when we picked her up over near Gaithersburg, Maryland. Such a sweet, quiet, tender little puppy. Picked her up and just look at you, and it was about that big. Now she's a 20-pound white tornado everywhere. The other morning, my daughter let her out in the backyard. There was a rabbit in the backyard. They did two laps around the yard before that rabbit found a way to get out. And just about didn't get out in one piece. You say, what is that? That's called keeping the yard clean, amen? Buddy, she was going at it. I love it. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Church is not to be a place where we make new creatures look like, sound like, or act like old creatures. We have churches all over our country that are dipping their sails, changing what they are to look like the old creature. We're bringing in rock music to sound like the world to attract people and say, well, we'll reach more people that way. Garbage. You're a new creature. Well, we just don't have a taste for that. You're a new creature. We're not supposed to let everybody come into the church undressed and coming in their jammies and everything else. Say, well, just come as you are. We're just a casual, relaxed. We're the, whatever they call those things. And believe whatever you want to believe. It's all love, 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 gag. God said that that's lukewarm stuff, and things that are lukewarm, God says, makes him vomit. I don't know about you, but vomit does not please me. I don't like being around it. I don't like smelling it. And I sure don't like doing it. We were in Bible college. Some guys in Chicago decided in the middle of July, they were going to give away watermelons on their bus route. Ice cold watermelon to everybody that comes. Trouble is, they had the watermelon, but not the ice. It was about 100 degrees out. Those watermelons sat on that bus all morning, all the way through church, and partway after church, baking in the sun. They put about 60 kids on that bus, pumped them full of warm watermelon juice, got them in a bus going all the way back up to Chicago, and got stuck on the Dan Ryan in a traffic jam. Have you ever had warm watermelon? Then you get sitting on a bus that's about 300 degrees with 60 other people screaming and hollering, and the bus is going, all of a sudden, one of the kids in the back said, I don't feel good. And pink projectile watermelon came back out. And I mean, all over everybody in front of him. It started a chain reaction. I was not on the bus. I saw the bus after. But I was not on the bus. I was told more than 30 people were in the chain reaction. I'm trying to be as couth as I can. Finally, towards the front of the bus, one of the kids decided, instead of throwing up on everybody around me, I'll stick my head out the window. Stuck his head out the window and threw up all over a white Cadillac. They're stuck in traffic. 6 lanes of traffic on each side. Nobody going anywhere, and pink goo all over a white Cadillac. This guy gets out of his Cadillac, walks over to the bus, pounds on the door, screaming and hollering, did you see what that kid did to my car? The guy said, come here. Did you see what they all did to the bottom of my bus? He got back in his car and didn't complain. That's the kind of stuff that makes God, this newfangled Christianity does that to God. The rock music, the believe what you want, have any version of the Bible you want, have a preacher or preacherette get up and preach a sermonette. One of our men said they know somebody that went to a church recently with a woman pastor, and the guy said, she doesn't preach real good, but when you walk out, you feel good. Well, bless God, you're not always going to feel good when you walk out of here, but you're going to know you got the Word of God. Amen. Say why? Because every once in a while, to help you, you got to hurt something. My wife has been ailing for the last 6-8 weeks. She's got a heel spur. We've been trying and trying and trying and trying to fix it. It just wasn't going away. We had to go to the doctor this week. You know what that rascal did? He took her foot and he took a shot and had a needle about that long. And he said, I have to go through the side of your foot to get it to the middle of your foot. And went, and I went, woo. Glad that's her foot and not my foot. I'd have punched him out at that moment, amen? Now, wait a minute. It hurt. But she's doing better. You had to hurt before the better came. Every once in a while, preaching hurts before it gets better. Everybody doing all right? All right. By the way, that's why we don't need newfangled Bibles. The old King James, good enough. Don't need a new Bible. Well, new is better. No, new is not. New is perverted. The old creature can't be fixed up to look like the new. Do you know, I don't care what you do to that old creature, you can't fix it up enough to be new. It'll never take place. You have to have the new creature. That's what being born again is all about. It's becoming a new creature. Now, lastly, and I'm done. The Bible says that after you've been saved, you've been reconciled. And I want you to look at verse 18. This is awesome. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, watch this, the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that if you're saved, God has given you a ministry? We have ministries here at the church. We have ladies who participate in the nursery ministry. We've got ladies in the Dorcas ministry. We've got folks in a soul winning ministry. We have folks now in the bus ministry. But did you know that every person who has ever been saved has a ministry? We've got the parking lot ministry. We've got the greeter ministry. We've got other Sunday school ministry. But every Christian is to be part of the ministry of reconciliation. Wow, what does that mean, preacher? Glad you asked. That means we're to take the gospel to every creature so they can have what we have. Amen. You're to go offer it to them in exchange for nothing. You're to take the gospel to every creature, get them saved, bring them to church, let God change their life. You say, well, I know Christians and they're not perfect. No kidding. Bible says, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. I wish I could tell you that I have never sinned. I'd be lying to you, and that would be a sin. Can I tell you something? But my sin's not going to be held against me because I got saved and God added Jesus' righteousness to my account, all my sin to his account, and it's all gone. Amen. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. When God looks at me, he doesn't even see the mark of sin. It's been covered by the blood, past, present, and future sin. Even the ones I haven't committed yet, he's got them covered. Bless the Lord. Now, wait a minute. We can love the unloved. That's the ministry of reconciliation. We can love the forgotten. That is the ministry of reconciliation. We can love those the world does not love. Do you know, I'm glad we have a church to where Brandy and Hope and others are just as accepted as, somebody like Mark Rogers, but let's face it. The ground's level here. What is that? By the way, Hope's my friend. Brandy's my friend. That's right. Can I tell you something? I'm glad they're accepted here. Got a new family in our church, and they couldn't be here this morning. They'll be here tonight. They've got a little special needs boy. He's my buddy. They came to church. And they said, "Nah, he can be hard to handle." I said, "Who can't?" I said, "Everybody says that about me too." We've learned how to love on that family, love on that boy. Whew. I got a text this morning. He said, "Preacher, We had something come up at the farm. Can't be there this morning. We'll be there tonight. And Gus is upset. He's not coming to church. I'm glad he knows where he can come and be accepted. Brother Mike, I stood out there at the farm, Brother Evan and I did. And they said, "We're not sure Gus understands how to get saved yet, preacher. What's going to happen?" I said, "If he never comes to the point where he mentally can understand the gospel, he's still going to heaven. God will take him just like a baby." Tears ran down their face. They said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I'm as sure as that book right there." I said, "It's not an age, it's an understanding." Whew. Can I tell you something? I'm glad at Grace Baptist Church, Gus is just as accepted as the preacher is. Whew. Can I tell you something? The ground's level here. I'm glad when Hope walks in the door, she walks up and she'll tell Brother Taylor or whoever's standing out there, "He my friend." Amen, Hope. "That's my best friend. Yes, I am." And then Brother Jimbo will say, "No, not him." Brother Jimbo's learned how to duck when he says that. Amen. Say, "Why?" Hope's going after him. You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad our church has, there's no social standing here. We're all the same. We're all the same. You see, we're to love the unloved. We're to love the forgotten. We're to love the widows that are widows indeed. We've got some widows here. And by the way, you're looking at a preacher that knows how to love widows. I do. I hurt for them. I really do. Miss Sally's out of town. I got Jeannie here. Jeannie will tell you, I don't think there's been a week go by I haven't made contact with her. Say why? Because we love her. We love her. By the way, there's such a thing as a widower. That means a man who's lost his wife. Amen, Brother Taylor? Brother Taylor, I tell you, his preacher loves him. I wished I didn't let him down so much, but I love him. Stay up with him. Make sure he's got his needs met the best I can. Say why? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? By the way, God said that's what pure religion is, undefiled. Taking care of the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. Wow. That bus drove out this morning, Brother Stoltz, Brother Ray. Where are you at, Brother Ray? There you are. Brother Ray sitting behind the wheel of that bus, grin plastered from ear to ear. I walked back in my office and I said, "That's exactly what you had in mind. That's exactly what God had in mind." Whew. I can't tell you how proud I was of our church. I can't. Huh. You see, you make, watch this. This is the whole point for you Christians. You make your new creature more valuable by doing the ministry of reconciliation. When you start going out and telling others about Jesus, you've just increased the value of your new creature. When you start loving people who do not love you back, whether it be an enemy, whether it be somebody that's unable to love you back, but you love in spite of there's no love return, can I tell you something? You've just increased the value of your new creature. When you overcome evil with good, not doing overcoming evil with evil, you've just increased the value of your new creature. Huh, what are we going to do with all these new things from the Supreme Court and our government? God says you overcome evil with good. Hey, therefore to him to do good and doeth not to him it is sin. We're going to go out, win more people to Christ, keep them from turning to that direction, and that is overcoming evil with good. You see, you have the ministry of reconciliation and you add value to your new creation, your new creature, by doing the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know instead of getting bitter, you can forgive and you're adding value to your new creature? You know, you don't have to be bitter in life. We live in a bitter world. Oh, I just can't forgive. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, I might be able to forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, if you have real biblical forgiveness, the remembrance won't matter. Did you know God has the ability to recall your sin? He said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I'll not call them to memory. I'm going to push them so far back, I'm not going to dwell on them because you have something new. Guess what? You don't have to worry about the old creature. You just got a new one. It's ours to add value to it. Did you know you can love without being loved back? Ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm going to use an illustration. Did you know a newborn baby does not love back? It requires a lot of love, but it doesn't love back. You can tell that baby, oh, I love you. It doesn't do anything back except spit up, mess up a diaper, squawk and cry. And every once in a while go, and you think it says, I love you. I'm for the new babies as long as you're having them and not us. But that child, that newborn, does not really know how to love. It knows how to take. It knows how to receive love. But it does not know how to love. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, you're going to have to love people that don't know how to love you back. You say, well, that person was nasty. Ladies, you look at your child now and forget how nasty some of them diapers were. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, none of you men can ever forget that. But you women seem to have amnesia on the wrong things. And some of them, even while you're doing an oil and lube job, everything cut loose again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be appropriate here, and it's not working real well because I'm not even going to look on the second row over here. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? He said, but I love that person. Doesn't matter what they did. How come you can't do that with everybody? Real love does not expect anything back. Real love is satisfied in giving, not getting. We get selfish with our love. Well, I went to church and 14 people didn't tell me they loved me, so I'm not ever going back there. How many people did you tell? And who said they had to tell you back? Maybe God wanted you to go through what he goes through because you don't tell him you love him. The ministry of reconciliation. Folks, we exchange nothing and get something. We exchange negative and get great treasures. Where else and who else, listen to this, could you give them sin, rebellion, bitterness, hatred, and disobedience, and God give you heaven, forgiveness, no sin on your record, and give you all the luxuries of heaven and reward you for doing it as well? Wow. It kind of makes us look at things in a different perspective. But watch this. Everybody listen. Not only did he give it to you, he said, I've got a ministry for you. And I want to show you how fun it is. And I want you to do the same thing I'm doing. The Spirit and the ministry of reconciliation. Being reconciled. Folks, it's wonderful to have it. I don't mean this the wrong way, but it's even more fun giving it away. It's fun. It is exciting to see what God does when you do it his way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, we ought to, number one, be thankful for what God's done for us. But I wonder how many of us are willing to take part in that ministry. Don't waste it. You're a new creature. Maybe you're tarnishing that new creature. Time to clean it up. Time to come to this altar and get your new creature cleaned up. Some of you are trying to be mournful over the old creature. Why don't you just set it on the shelf and let it remind you what you were, but realize you're a new creature. You don't have to be haunted by the old one. You're a new one. And many of us need to pick up the new ministry that we have that we didn't even know we had. The ministry of reconciliation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can care for that today. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we can care for it today. If you've been saved and baptized, you'd like to join this church, you may. And many, many, many in this room need to use this altar and re-enlist in the ministry of reconciliation.